Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilquin in for Frank Cusimano. Frank will be back on Thursday. He's resting up for the baseball season. He will not take off a single day once baseball begins. I think that's what we're at, right? He is resting up. Is that correct? Or has Dom got a tournament next weekend, maybe?
Dom, tournaments.
I'm not vacation shaming. Good for Frank.
Sounds like you are vacation shaming.
No, I was joking.
Bit.
That because the season's about to begin, like he's back on Thursday, which is opening day for the Cardinals up in Milwaukee. Which, by the way, do you call it opening day when it's on the road? And this happened at work. We have to have animations and graphics at Fox 2, and it says opening day. And plenty of people are like, well, that's not at Busch.
It's opening day.
It's the opening day of the season.
Yes.
It's the first game of the season.
But then opening day lasts for 2 weeks because it's opening day for as long as there are home openers.
So it's opening day Thursday, and then April 4th, it's the home opener.
But it's opening day again on Monday, I believe. Aren't they Pittsburgh's home opener as well?
Oh, okay, so they're at somebody else's
opening day. It probably gets old for a while for the players. We have to do it 3-4 times where, like, the introductions and they talk about all the plays.
Hey, great. Yeah,
Christ,
you
want to
stand on the third baseline? Yeah, hey, wave. They don't really care about you. Great. I had a guy call last night.
Oh, no.
And rarely does, I mean, Doug could tell you, anybody in an office, I guess most offices, you're on your cell phone or people will email if it's a place of business. But rarely does the phone state, the landline ring. It's 99% of the time at our office, it's Mike Lee.
I was going to guess that.
I talked to him 4 times last night. Was Larry Nickel under the weather?
Nickel's having kidney issues.
Okay. So we talked about that for a while last night. I left the room and I came back and Dave Jobe, our longtime sports producer, he said, I don't know if you heard about Larry. I said, well, I just talked to Mike 10 minutes ago. But when the phone rings now, I will pick it up and I'll just say, hey, Mike. And he'll say, Blues winning? And I'm like, well, it's 2-1. Them? Us? I'm like, they're winning here, here, there, here. Okay, we do this routine. So now
it's
I just
like
pick
that Abbott and Costello. Here, there?
So I pick up the phone, and I say, yes, Mike. And the guy said, oh, it's not Mike. And I forget. It was Walt or Bill. I don't even remember. Yeah, can you give me the Cardinals spring training record? You just had highlights of them playing in Memphis. And my first thought is that I'm always being punked. You know, it's like one of these FM morning shows, and they're like, we're going to get Kilquin to say something stupid. We're going to get him to snap. So I'm always paranoid. Even when Mike Lee's on there, he said, I grabbed some boobies. I'm like, all right, we're not talking about that. Not talking about that. In case I'm being punked. But the guy said, yeah, what was their record down in Florida? Do you know how many games they won and lost? Top of my head, I do not.
Just make it up.
Top of my head, I said, not real good.
They were 10-10. I don't know.
They were 11-15.
I was close.
So I looked it up. They were the worst Grapefruit League team. And I said, well, I'll look it up for you. It's going to take a second. This is at 10 o'clock. So I put the phone down. Look it up. They were 11-15. Okay, great. And I said, I don't know about all those ties. Because they had a bunch of ties, did they not? It's not indicated in their spring record. And he was super polite. He said, okay, thank you. And it was great to provide a service. But I hung up and I thought, what the hell was that? In 2019, who's calling? Because you got to go through the switchboard to get to the assignment desk to get to the sports department. And then Morton answers and said, hey, Mike, what's up? All so you can find out what their record. Do you think John Mozeliak knows their record?
No. No.
Do you think Mike Schilt?
No. Well, maybe. He
maybe.
Might.
In
he
fact,
might.
I'm going to see him tomorrow in Milwaukee. I'm going to ask him just out of curiosity. And it's a weird, random question, but I feel like I need to know. So I hung up, and I just had no idea why this guy would be wanting to know. Like, Hoffman's into baseball. Plowsy's into baseball. Does that record have any value to
no.
you in your life?
No.
Neither do the stats.
At least those are kind of fun.
Yeah, true.
The actual record?
No. In 2017 they had the second best Grapefruit League record and then flopped out of the gates to start the season that year.
It means very little.
It means very little.
I know. It was just sort of a random request. Okay, also, before we get to the opening monologue here, it doesn't matter, much like the spring record, but I still would like to know. I was at the zoo on Friday. I mentioned that yesterday. At one point, we walked past a guy with some kids, and just kind of he was shuffling around. I looked over. We get about 10 feet away, and I said to Carson, I said, that's Alex Petrangelo. Mm. He's like, Dad, go say hi. Probably not going to say hi. He goes, no, go back. I'm like, no, come on here. Have some funnel cake or something. Just keep moving, kid. And I said to Strickland, will you find out for me? Because it's been bothering me. Should I care whether he was at the zoo or not? Or it's mostly I want to know if I'm crazy. And I thought I saw Alex Petrangelo at the zoo.
Oh, what if it's no?
Then I'm crazy?
Are you going to feel worse or better?
I'll feel worse. I think I saw Petro at the zoo, but I don't know for sure. Should I let it go?
To me, I think he has a late 20s, early 30s St. Louis look to him. So I think there's a lot of people at first glance in St. Louis.
There's a lot of Petros out there?
That are similar to Petro. You know, he doesn't have that distinctive look that you can pick him out of a crowd like you probably can with like a Pareko or somebody.
Was he turning heads from anyone else?
That's a good question. I texted Strick last night. I said, can you find out for me? And he did not respond.
But didn't ask him post game.
No.
If your question is, should you go that far? No.
Well, you should.
Like, should I go up to him and ask him? Absolutely
ask
not.
Him. No, ask him.
But I think Strick should on my behalf. All right, opening monologue here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. It's brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. Lap 5. Hmm? In honor of Frank. Lap 1. The Blues have done it again. 4 home games, 4 wins. Oilers, Red Wings, Lightning, and Golden Knights. What's the one thing they have in common? What was the one thing true about all 4 games?
They won.
They were all played at Enterprise Center. Jordan Binnington started all 4 games. So a week ago, we were talking about the goalie yet again, saying, yeah, is he the guy? Maybe it's coming back to earth. What do you think Binner's record is now after 26 NHL starts?
I already know because we talked about it this morning, but it's amazing.
You're disqualified.
Yeah.
Is it 14, 15 wins?
He's 21.
Wow.
Insane.
4-1.
Oof.
Now, it's not all about the goalie. Team's got to score. Defense has got to play well. But 21-4-1, and beyond that, Craig Berube made it very clear. He's the guy. A week ago, didn't you feel like we were asking the questions about 1 and 1A and whether we'd get to the playoffs and we'd have this Brian Elliott's over here, Jake Allen's over there. We'd get back to that same deal we've had for a long time. Wasn't that a week ago we were talking about it and it was
yes.
a legitimate topic?
Back to your zoo topic, Daddy Padre texted him and Tarasenko, meaning Petrangelo and Tarasenko, both
Padre
at the zoo.
Is that right?
Yes, it was.
Hold on. Daddy Padre was at the zoo?
No.
Him and Vladdy were hanging out.
Vladdy and Petrangelo were at the zoo, confirmed by
really?
Our third string goalie, number one in your hearts, Daddy Padre.
God, okay. And this is painful because here I am glowing about Binner when
exclusive.
I got Daddy Padre on. Hold here, probably a little offended that
hold
Martin
on, Carson, hold my phone. We're going to do a one-on-one interview with Petro at the zoo.
All right, give me a tight shot there. We're going to, yep.
Rennie would have right? taken a picture.
He would have.
Who else would have stopped and
Tom
tweeted
Ack.
It out? Ack would have tweeted out
definitely.
A picture.
Definitely. He was heavy in the
great to see the captain along with the Penguins. The Pittsburgh Penguins? No, actual Penguins. So the point is, Binnington's back. He's your goalie. They're 21-4-1. In 26 starts, and it's another win against a really good opponent. In fact, Vegas was the hottest team in hockey. They were 10-1-1 in their last 12 games. Lap two.
Ooh, that's quick.
No, I don't.
Oh, sorry.
Ooh, Frank.
Yesterday was good. Today's bad.
It's all right. It happens. Lap two, also about the Blues. We had Chris Kerber on the show. Voice of the Blues, brought to you by Petromark. He may have been at the zoo. He's the voice of the zoo. Kerbs was on. And one of the things that's happened during this homestand is that secondary scoring. Every night, if you say, boy, Tarasenko and O'Reilly and Shen, they got to carry the load, that's just not going to work. How many times did the Blues lose to Detroit? And it'd be a guy like Chris Draper or LaPointe, these guys getting the goals. And you'd say, wait a minute, Yzerman didn't beat us? Fedorov didn't beat us? No, Yzerman did beat us once. But I'm saying, over the course of the playoffs, it's always these other guys. Like, how did he score? You got to have it. And lately, the Blues have been getting it. Barbashev, the hat trick the other night, scored again last night. Zach Sanford had a goal, had an assist. Schwartz last week, three goals against the Oilers. It's the depth, and that's something Kerbs talked about.
Now, I don't think that their scoring depth is as good as Tampa. I don't think that their scoring depth is as good as Las Vegas. I'm not even sure that it's as good as Winnipeg and Nashville. But they have enough depth that when the Blues have 13 players with seven goals or more, they do have different lines that can chip in. And that's when the structure and the compete level really plays a difference for them. That's why they've been able to beat Nashville four times this year. So I think it's going to continue to get better, Martin, as guys like Thomas get more experience. Eventually, maybe a Kyrou comes up next season, plays. I don't know what happens to Fabry down the road. Obviously, Jaden Schwartz hasn't had a very good offensive season for him. We've seen Braden Shen that could be better. I think I don't think he's typically that 70-point player, but on a deep team in the 60-point ranges there. I think there's another level for that depth, but it's definitely showing how effective the Blues can be when they spread that those minutes out and they spread those lines out.
And we got to give Strick credit. First of all, he's tweeting out now about the playoff tickets.
Dude, wow, that's a 180 from December and January when it was prospects and people they could draft.
Lose for Hughes?
Yes.
He even said in his tweet yesterday about playoff tickets available coming up here in early April. Who would have believed in early January that we were talking about this? And then he concluded the tweet with the hashtag 622Blue. Love the fact Strick is owning it. But also, to Strick's credit, he talked about the secondary scoring and talked about how this team wouldn't have to just rely on the Tarasenkos, the O'Reillys of the world. And all of a sudden, this team is doing better with a guy like Steen on the fourth line. And wasn't it Strick who said, listen, he's a great player, he's had a great career, but maybe his minutes should change a little bit, maybe his role should change. Was it not? It was probably a 14-minute answer.
Well,
but I'm pretty sure Strick said, it wasn't Sobotka-esque. That was the Hall of Fame answer when Charlie and I went over to Kirkwood Brewhouse and had lunch and came back, and he was still talking about Sobotka. Love you, Strick.
Do you?
Which, by the way, Michael Avenatti owes Strick $400.
You're going to get a nasty tweet now because he made fun of Strick.
Love Strick. Love the hockey talk. But he is the one on this show, one of them, that said maybe Steen just plays a few less minutes. And Craig Berube made the bold move and said, listen, you know, he's on our fourth line. Nothing wrong with that. Veteran guy, adds a little something to that fourth line, but he took him off one of the top lines. That's credit to the coach. And Strick. Lap three. The upside of being the wet blanket, not just necessarily Hoff.
It seems like this is going to be aimed.
No. This is a compliment, okay? The upside of being the wet blanket and being a little pessimistic, some might say realistic, oftentimes. Hey, Hoff, it's sunny out. Yeah, but it's going to rain later.
I had done that before.
The upside. Hey, free beer. What kind?
Yeah.
The upside. Hey, Marquette's in the tournament. Yeah, they'll lose.
I was right.
Yeah, you were. But if you're always pessimistic, or most of the time, I shouldn't say always, when you are overly excited or optimistic, I think you have more credibility. I think you get more attention for your upbeat take because for the most part, oh, this guy, he hates everything. Oh, this guy. Whoa. He's actually positive about the Cardinals season. Tweeted out yesterday, and I said I may remove the moniker wet blanket for the 2019 Cardinals season, because dare I say, the Hoffmeister is excited about the Birds, and he's never excited about anything.
I feel like there's reasons. I don't know how good the team's going to be. I could see anywhere from 85 to into the 90s of wins, but there are elements of this team that are really exciting to, that will be really exciting to watch this year, that I think have been missing in years past.
I'm all for
best
being
weapons in the bullpen instead of in Memphis.
Yes, a full season of Jack Flaherty, using starting off the year with your best young pitchers mostly in the rotation outside of Reyes. I feel like in past years, a Dakota Hudson would not have broken camp with the Cardinals, at least in the rotation. He is this year, and more importantly, they're actually slotting him in a good rotation spot. They're being honest about their 1-5 starters. I'm looking forward to seeing a full year of a confident Colton Wong. We saw what he was like in July and August. Can that transfer over to a full six-month season? I'm excited to see, obviously, Paul Goldschmidt in the lineup and having a real thumper right in the middle to add offense. I think there are elements that are going to be worth paying attention to this year and that maybe weren't there last year or 2 years ago.
And I think, to be fair, a portion of the fan base had gotten disappointed, frustrated with Mike Matheny to the point that even the beginning of 2018, even though it's the beginning of the season, I think some people were concerned maybe they wouldn't make the best moves. I think some people were frustrated with Matheny going into last year, and that cut into some of the optimism. So here it is, Brian Hoffman, a.k.a. Wet Blanket, excited about this team.
I'm so for Brian being a wet blanket, because being too optimistic, you're kind of in the you're a little naive category. So I like being more realistic. I think Brian's more so realistic
Thank
than
you.
Quote unquote a wet blanket there, Mr. Double Reverse Camera.
Well, the front camera is awfully nice in the new Hyundai Santa Fe. Offenberg Hyundai features a forward camera. No excuse for running over anything.
I just think it's nice that they're breaking camp with their best 25. Yes. And I don't recall that being the case in recent years. Remember us screaming last April, bring up Flaherty, put him in the rotation, and wait until May to do it? I was getting tired of that yearly occurrence.
All right, lap four. That team to the north, right, not the Brewers, but the Cubs, who won 95 games last year. And the roles now are reversed, where not only did they make it to October, granted it was a quick exit, but they're not satisfied. In fact, Theo's saying right now is October begins in March. Like, October begins in March. Okay. In other words, they're trying to up their game. We had Dave Kaplan on yesterday, Cubs pre- and post-game host, and basically the culture that Joe Maddon had become famous for. And they literally had a clown car come to spring training a couple of years ago. They'd have a mime and a juggler. They were always jacking around. It looked like a fun team to be on. But it sounds like things had gotten a little too fun.
I think a lot of this obviously is from Theo Epstein. There's a really good article in The Athletic today from Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney, who are around this team all the time. And they have all the different things that they're going to do, and that Theo and Jed got on airplanes and flew to Rizzo's home in Florida and John Lester's home in Atlanta suburbs and went to Ben Zobrist and all these different guys and sat down with them and said, okay, let's put it all on the table. What do you like? What don't you like? And the amazing thing was you had the majority of the team leaders saying, we want more structure. See, Joe's really laid back. Joe is, you know, it's Legion week, or Joe is, hey, guys, no batting practice. Show up at 4:30 and let's just go play. And they want batting practice a minimum of five times a week. They want to know by series who's playing so that, you know, obviously Rizzo's not coming out of the lineup if healthy. Bryant's not coming out. Baez isn't coming out. But certain guys said, I don't want to worry that on Wednesday I went 0-4 and I was trying to hit behind a runner and now I'm not playing the next day because I was 0-4. They want to know, hey, here's the Cardinals series and so-and-so you're going to play, Albert Almora, for example. You're going to be in center field Friday and Saturday and you are off on Sunday.
Dave Kaplan painting a picture of the veterans, the folks with the Cubs saying, let's get serious around here. Joe Maddon It'd be interesting to see his demeanor, because he's usually got catchphrases, kind of like October begins in March. Maybe a little less fun for the Cubs. I love it. Lap five. Have you seen video of John Brebbia mocking John Mozeliak?
Yes.
The Cardinals tweeted it out.
The Cardinals are having fun.
Yes. What's happening here? They're having a little too much fun. Win a game.
Too much fun.
Get to October.
Win a series already.
Well, I thought April was when October began. So confusing.
And he does such a great Mozeliak, but just by the attire, it just is beautiful.
Of all the people. So when John Brebbia chimed in on the Chris Bryant thing, I'm like, oh, my God, John Brebbia bringing heat on Chris Bryant. Cry me a river loser. And now we've got him decked out as Mo with the sweater tied around his waist.
The salmon sweater.
And the preppy shorts. I mean, it's fun. The last time we saw a good imitation of somebody, it was Kyle Loesch doing the La Russa. Remember that at Wrigley Field?
Oh, yeah.
When Tony was mid-shingles and Loesch was wearing the sunglasses. But who are the funny Cardinals over the years? Todd Wellemeyer, friend of the morning after, was a weird guy. Steve Klein was just an absolute goofball.
I think Adam Wainwright is
very funny.
I mean, you got to kind of warm up to him, but if he's in the right mood, he's extremely funny.
Can we have a dress like mode trip?
Oh, we don't need trip.
A whole team just dresses like John Mozeliak?
I'm going to guess that the president of baseball operations might nix that.
Mm.
But the fact that Brebbia...
That would have been a good idea when Pham was here. I think he would have had some fun with that.
Maybe too much.
Are we sure Brebbia has made the opening day roster? If I were him, I would wait until Thursday afternoon. Yes.
Right.
This is a guy last year who was in Montreal. Hey, Mom and Dad, I made the team. We're sending you home.
Oh, John,
pretty ballsy, right?
John, I saw your little outfit the other day. Why don't you just stay here in Memphis for a little bit?
I always have bad ideas. I'm going to text Mo and say... Or is that worse? What if he hasn't? I don't want to get in the middle. What if he
had
not?
Please don't. Don't get Brebbia off the team. You're going to be the guy.
Okay, how about it? I'll wait till Thursday.
Ask in Milwaukee.
Thursday.
Yeah, once you're
opening
there.
Day, I'll say, Mo, did you see Brebbia's image? I did. Didn't care for it. All right, I'm not going to say it. Because what if he didn't see it and he gets pissed and cuts him?
Because right now you have the ability to mix up that opening day roster. Just wait till they're in Milwaukee, all settled in on the field, play and catch, and then do it.
Julian Tavares was wildly entertaining, but wasn't really funny.
Him throwing his hat in the crowd after getting caught with a banned substance is one of my favorite things.
And then Frank took it to
history.
A local lab.
Did he really?
Yes. Frank became part of that story. Walt Jocketty said, well, I know one of the TV guys took it. Frank took it to a lab to have it tested. Ask him on Thursday.
That is hilarious.
I think one of the best.
Or maybe it was Joel Goldberg.
One of the best personalities in the clubhouse without actually maybe being a player is Eugene.
He is
an absolute superstar and helped Sungwan Oh. I think he, obviously not on the roster, was very entertaining.
Funniest Cardinals that you can remember, 855-282-8255. Klein's probably the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Gibson, he was a hoot.
Ha.
No. 855-282-8255. It's the Maryville University listener line. Of course, the opening segment here brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. You can visit gatewaymsp.com for more information. Hollywood Casino Press Box, the McBride Home Studios, and lap six, believe it or not, there's one to go. Stream of consciousness. So the Mueller report came out, I think it was Sunday night, that sort of broke. And I tweeted out, is the Mueller report the equivalent of the 2002 baseball All-Star game?
All the time.
Like, there was a lot of hype.
And that's a good job by you for finding a non-violent, non-fatal comparison.
Do you think that was a non-political tweet?
Yes.
But a lot of people chimed in, oh, yeah, wait till you find out what Obama did. Oh, yeah, they're still going to get Trump. Oh, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
You have to know by now anything political is.
Come on. That's non-political, is it not?
It was a tie.
The game ended, and they're like, we don't know what else to do.
Right.
We've spent all this time. We're in the 12th inning. I know you're excited about this. You were waiting for a final result, and Bud Selig on the mic.
We can't say definitively if he obstructed or did not obstruct justice, so here's our paper.
Correct.
That is the equivalent of a tie.
Ryan Braun is a little bit like all of us.
He did this on purpose.
That's my question. And we're going to head to Milwaukee next, but the Brewers had to play a game in Montreal. I'm sure the players are not that excited about it, especially veteran players get sick of these kind of trips. Ryan Braun didn't have to make the trip because he said, oh, wait a minute, He couldn't find his passport.
Oh, shoot, guys. You know what? Just go.
He said something
perfect
like,
perfect way to not go on the trip.
Oh, God. I can't. I feel so stupid. All
right. $1 million on the line. If you're right, you keep it. Did he do it on purpose?
Yes. I mean, the logistics, you have to have a guy or a wife or, you know, somebody.
Oh, a guy or a wife.
Well, I'm at maybe an agent if you're single, but if you have a wife, usually she'll take care of those things on the road for you.
Well, maybe she's a CEO somewhere, Plowsy.
Okay.
Jerk. Jerk.
Whatever. I'll stop talking. But I think this is definitely a setup.
Do you think he did it on purpose?
Yes, 100%.
Doesn't everybody think that?
Yes.
And finally, the Nats were playing a home game yesterday. It was against the Yankees, and it was on TV. It was on MLB Network. It was fun to see Luke Voit playing, but I'm thinking their home opener is a couple days away. Is that the dumbest thing?
The Mets are doing a workout in Syracuse for some reason.
Well, that's better.
No, the Mets hate that.
I understand, but at least you're going by a market that doesn't get to see you. Why are the Nats playing a game at home? An exhibition game?
I don't know.
Does that make any sense?
No.
And I look, there's plenty of empty seats because it wasn't opening day. Stupid. All right, opening monologue in the books. We'll come back. Head to Milwaukee. It's our Central Division countdown. Yesterday, the Cubs. Today, the focus on the Brewers.